In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. One of the many signs of the success that Satan has in today's society and culture is the fractured nature of all of our human relationships. He has sown chaos, and in the chaos that he has sown, he has destroyed families and communities, separating brother from brother, sister from sister, and friend from friend. Sadly, in the last several weeks, I have been in conversations with many who speak about all of these things surrounding the vaccine and how it has destroyed families, separated marriages, introduced enmity where then there had been peace. And again, this is the work of Satan as he prowls about the world seeking the ruin of souls. But even before society introduced the reality of the vaccine or culture and society conspired against the preaching of the truth, even within the body of Christ, even in Holy Mother Church herself, there are at times divisions that are sown, separating us one from another, over things seemingly that are significant but ultimately do not rise to the necessary level of significance. And here in his exhortation to the Ephesians, Paul reminds us of what it means to walk in a manner worthy of our calling. We certainly never sacrifice truth for unity. We never give over a clear proclamation of who we are and what it is we believe in order to compromise with others simply so that we can have peace, because that really isn't peace. But by the same token, as Paul himself makes manifest, through a practice of virtue, humility, and meekness, with patience and with love, we are able to persevere in that unity of the Spirit that binds us together in peace. One body, one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. It's very easy at times to allow rancor or discord to rise up in our hearts. And because oftentimes we are convinced of our own righteousness in a particular situation, we move forward, heedless of the damage that indeed we might cause or do. It's easy to say, let people go, let them go their way. But we cannot have that happen, brothers and sisters. We cannot let people go their own way. We must strive as hard as we possibly can in defense of truth, caring for the truth, to make sure that the body is preserved as one, that we are held together in this one Spirit. And we do that through humility and meekness, which will always check our own emotions, check our own thoughts, check our own directedness, but also do what we do out of love. At times, calling our errant brothers and sisters back, other times, walking them in when they come, and other times ourselves seeking that mercy and compassion when we ourselves have gone astray. And all of this wrapped up, held together, bound together with the reality of love itself. It is at times a very difficult task to be your rector, not only because I lack all the native talents to do it well, but because at times this spirit of discord enters into our own home and makes its way here under our own roof. And we find ourselves fractured, not one body, not one spirit, but instead different spirits, different energies, maybe motivated for good cause, but energies nonetheless competing one with another that is not holding the body together. We all, myself included, must strive for the necessary humility and meekness that will allow us to remain one, be held together as one. Because as I have said from this very spot, the manner in which we worship and the blessing that God gives to us in being able to worship in this way will be an integral, if not the integral part of the salvation of the church as she moves forward in this 21st century and beyond. This may be in politic for me to say it. Certainly I shouldn't be recording it, but that doesn't detract from the truth of it nonetheless. And if that is indeed the case, and I believe it is, then all the more reason for us to remain one, to hold together, to bind together. And are there things that might at times separate us? Yes, we are a family, and therefore we get on each other's nerves. That's what families do. It happens. But we never walk away from each other. We never tire of each other. We never stop loving one another. And as hard as that may be, it is only in that way that we can manifest not only the truths of the manner in which we worship, but the power of what it is that we do when we gather to worship in this way. This is the bond that holds us together. This is what makes us truly brothers and sisters to each other. Not because society dictates it, not because the government mandates it, but because God has ordained it for us. And he has provided us the means by which we can indeed hold together and hold fast. But we must put into practice the exhortation that Paul gives to the Ephesians. Of course, our Lord makes it very clear and simple for us in our gospel that this life of humility and meekness, this life of patience, this life of perseverance, this life of forbearance is all held together in love. What is the greatest commandment of the law? You shall love the Lord your God with every fiber of your being. And when you do that, you must likewise love your neighbor as yourself. Everything about the law and the prophets coalesces, is understood, and experienced in that one commandment. Now, sadly, because of Satan prowling about the world seeking the ruin of souls, he has done damage to the content and the meaning of the word love. We use love to describe a variety of emotions and experiences that have nothing to do with what love truly is. When I could eat with impunity, I loved McDonald's French fries. I love my car. I really love my car. It's the third iteration of this car that I have had. I love playing golf when I was able to do so, and hope to do so again. But I also love my family, my nieces and my nephews, my siblings. I love God, and I love Holy Mother the Church. Now, of course, you all understand, I understand, when I use that word to describe all of these emotions, they're all equal. It doesn't mean the exact same thing. The love of French fries and the love of God cannot be equated one to another. But when Satan finds his way into the chaos of the world, stirring up and making even things more confused, that's precisely what happens. And so we treat God as if he is a bag of French fries. We treat each other as if we are nothing. Disposable, coming and going based on my whims, my likes, my wants, my needs at that time, at that moment. We speak about love when we really don't understand what it is we truly mean. Because the content of love is the mystery of the cross. And love always seeks first the good of the other before we are satisfied. That's what it means to love as God loves us. I am more concerned about your good than I am about my own. Think about that. Think about what the world is asking of you. When the world tells you no, think of yourself first. Think only of yourself. Satisfy your own needs and wants first. And then, if there's room, if there's energy, then do that for the other. And our faith demands the exact opposite. You must always think of the other more than yourself. The person in the pew that you know, the person in the pew that you don't know, the person in front of you, behind you. You get what I mean. And therefore, this is how we are held together, because it's not based on liking each other. It's based on loving each other. It's not based on whether we're BFFs and we spend all of our time together. It's based on this fact that Christ is the one who binds and holds us together. And therein lies the power of our relationship. This is not easy. It has never been easy. And I'm not quite sure why we insist on making it easy or anticipating that it would be easy. Because this love, as we already know, becomes manifest for us on the cross. That's the price that is paid to love as we have been loved. And we are required to do the exact same thing. Not something similar, not something like, not something in the neighborhood of, but the exact same thing. So whatever crosses you are carrying, you must carry them with joy. And whatever sacrifices you are being asked to make, you must make them with joy. And whatever dying you are doing at this moment, you must enter into with peace and joy. And I say this not to simply throw something on you, but that these words may also crash into my own hard head, and I too might embrace my crosses and my sacrifices with joy and peace. This is a journey for us all. I might be at the head leading and guiding, but I'm on the same journey, and together we will get there. Going back to the exhortation that Paul has bestowed upon us, brothers and sisters, we are one with each other. Because of our love for God, our love of holy tradition made manifest in the life of Holy Mother Church, let us always keep uppermost in our minds, not those things that separate or divide us, but those realities that hold us together. And when at times our righteousness may well up inside of us, and at times it does, when at times we are so convinced of what we are doing and we proceed in doing it, let's go back to these virtues that Paul says, humility and meekness, bearing in mind that there is only one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, and how blessed all of us truly are to be drawn into this great mystery, Father, Son, and Spirit, that through baptism we've received, that allows us to call each other brother and sister and be held together as one. Love not as the world loves, but as God loves. A love that requires the shedding of your blood and the gift of your body. For your salvation, yes, but just as importantly, because it is love, for the salvation of the whole world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.